Good evening, and thank you for joining us in Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are blessed to be in Terrorize Study, Tell It Well, in Chapter 10 of the Book of Acts. In the last 2 weeks, we have been discussing about open doors and saving faith and the story of Cornelius and Peter. Last week, we talked about Peter's vision and getting rid of prejudices.
Ooh, you know... All right, I'm going to share my story that it goes to this, because this was a profound defining moment in my life. And when we first moved to Omaha, we had a phone call from our friends in Houston. And good friends that were in our class in Houston were actually from Omaha. It was just kind of weird how, you know, they were rooted there because of when they graduated, that's where they were sent to work, whereas we were being rooted from there to come here to work. And his dad had died. And they were coming in for his dad's funeral. And so, of course, I went to the funeral. And I walked into this church, and as I was sitting in the church, I'm looking around, and I began to see things that didn't fit in my frame of reference of church. And I began to listen to things as they were happening, and I really had a nasty spirit of judgmentalism that came out. And began to judge the speaking. I began to judge the prayers. I began to judge. I was so out of the will of God. You don't know how bad I was out of the will of God. And I'm supposed to be, you know, a child of God at this point in my life. I'm ashamed to even admit this, okay? And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking these thoughts and just, you know, also righteous in my own heart and in my own mind about, well, this is what we should be doing. This is how they should be handling this. This is what should be saying. I mean, I was just like giving them a good old what for in my head while this funeral is going on without any heart towards the grief that was happening. Regardless of what I was thinking was true or not, I was acting as ruler and judge. And I'm sitting there having these thoughts, and all of a sudden it was like a prick happened on the base of my neck. I mean, physically, I felt like somebody poked me. And all of a sudden, I heard this question put before me. Because it was an amazing thing. It was, who are you to judge my bride? That was the question. And I knew immediately it was God. But that was the question I heard in my heart and mind. And I just kind of froze. And I'm like, your bride? And he goes, well, these are people who call upon my name. Who are you to judge them? And then I heard in my heart that you are a denominational racist. I mean, I heard God call me that in my heart. Not an audible voice, but it was in my heart. So convicted me, I began to bawl. I mean, I was bawling. I mean, bawling as in like my shoulders racking sobs, because I realized how grievous this sin was inside me and the spirit of judgment that I had. And I'm sitting here thinking years later, as I was going back over this one day, I was like, I'm so glad that I wasn't at a wedding doing that, because, you know, to be bawling at a wedding wouldn't have been looked upon so good. Funeral, they thought I was crying for my friend, but... I was bawling. I was heaving. I mean, like, you could not look at me without knowing this woman was totally upset, and I could not control it because it was so overwhelming in such a profound moment. Mm. And it occurred to me how much denominational racism I had inside me, and I didn't know how it happened, where it came from, because I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wasn't raised in a specific church. The churches that I went to growing up, I went to many different denominational churches because I just went wherever I could find God. Anybody that loved God, I would find a way to hook up and go with them, because I didn't have a family that believed in God. This whole section with what is happening with Peter and Cornelius, it is about Cornelius having saving faith in Jesus Christ. But just as it is about Cornelius having a saving faith in Jesus Christ, it is also about Peter getting rid of his prejudices that were culturally developed within him that he needed to have shed so that he could come to a fuller measure of who God intends him to be in the ministry he needs to do. And God knew that Peter, 33 miles away, had to be the man to go to Cornelius. Hmm. And that is what really humbles me, how much God loves us, that he will use a vision and a trance to bring two men together so that one man can have saving knowledge. Not just one man, actually, it was everybody in that household that day. And who knows how many people that was that were in that place that he had gathered. Mm. And because scripture doesn't tell us. I mean, we don't know if it was 30 and we don't know if it was 150. We don't know how many people that was.
More than one.
Yes. And I mean, it says that he had gathered all, I mean, which passage it says that he had gathered all, found a large gathering of people is how scripture describes it. It was a large gathering of people. And God did this because Peter needed a big picture view of what God was going to do for man. Mm. It wasn't just for the Jews. It was for all people. All people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's all people. And so we can't look at any person mm-hmm. and say, no, they can't. We can't look at a people group and say, they will never come to know the Lord as Savior. We can't look at a denomination and say, they don't, you know, they're not going to. God says he died for all. And recently, God has convicted me again, I don't know how many times he's going to have to do this, to not look at groups, but to look at individuals. Because when we look at a group, I get overwhelmed. Right. I don't know about you. When I look at a group, I can freak out over some groups. But if I look at an individual, mm-hmm. I'm looking at a person mm-hmm. who has passion and fears and desires right. and wants and hopes and dreams, and I can suddenly relate. I mm-hmm. can connect. I can
tangible.
Meet an individual mm-hmm. and share Christ with an individual. But if I look at a people group and say I have to conquer a people group, that's enough to make me freeze, shut up, and shut the door and never go out. And so it's about looking at the individual, and through looking at the individual, that's what opened the door for Peter to go to Cornelius.
Mm-hmm. It's so relational. God is relational.
I know.
He wants for you to just take time, spend time, you know, understand their hurts and their pains, and not, it becomes insincere almost when you don't know them and you just try to share, because they don't know. It's, we live in a culture, I feel like there's always a motive, an expectation. Okay, if you're going to do this for me, I have to do it for you. But God doesn't work that way. Mm-mm. He's like, love without a motive, love without an agenda. Just go and love and be love. And that's so hard for people to accept. That's why relationships are so important, because then they know you're not in it for anything. This is just God in you. And they become, they desire to know who God is that way.
It's amazing. I agree. I'm not disagreeing. But I'm going to say yes, and then I'm going to add in, Peter didn't know the 5,000 that came to know the Lord. He knew nothing about them, but yet he was faithful to proclaim mm-hmm. Jesus Christ crucified, and 5,000 came to know the Lord.
Right.
There are places and times mm-hmm. where it will be mm-hmm. where
very true, very
where
true.
There won't be relationships, but people will come to know the Lord.
And I think that's also being called at that
right.
for that specific
it's
purpose.
A, right. God opens the door.
Right.
Are we going to be faithful to do what we're called to mm-hmm. do? And I believe in the day in, the day out, it's the relational. Mm-hmm. But there will be times that he will also say, get up and speak. And then you better speak, because there's an open door.
And their souls.
Yeah.
That
and
are,
we have to be urgent for the souls. And I, you know, I was talking with Sabrina, because all of the natural disasters that are happening, I don't know about you guys, but God forgive me, my heart can shut down, because I see there's so many different natural disasters that are occurring in so many places that where help needs to occur, that my heart wants to say, I can't help in all these places, so I'm just going to shut down and not have to deal with it because there's too many. And I think that can be our attitude even when it comes to lost people.
Yes.
You know, there's more than I can ever get around mm-hmm. to. And God says, don't look there, look at the individual. And that's what Sabrina's talking about with those relationships. Who are you in mm-hmm. relationship with? How can you bring them to a saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ, explaining who Christ is?
Right, because you don't know the season. You have to be prepared in and out. And the book that I'm reading right now, he's a pastor that wrote Christian Atheist, and he was on a subway. And there's a man listening to their conversation, and they were talking about the things of God. And he looked at them and said, hey, I don't mean to interrupt, but I heard you guys were talking about God, and I want to know him.
Aww.
Will you tell me who he is? And the guys were like, oh, we thought this was an open door. But none of us knew what to say.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, he was early pastor, very young. And they got, like, shy and scared. And so the guy left, and he looked at him. He goes, well, thanks a lot for trying.
Oh, dear.
And there was a door that was open and shut. And I think that we get so nervous sometimes of, I'll be rejected. I better not say anything about God because now they're not going to like me. And, you know, all these things that we manifest in our mind. And ultimately, it's like they want to know where they're going to go. They want security.
Right.
And we're just going to be that person that's like everyone else and beat around the bush about important things. And you just never know when their day is up.
You just don't. You don't. And using every tool that we can. I mean, every means that you can think of that you can communicate, whatever your talent is using that talent to the full measure, mm-hmm. not hiding that talent.
Right.
Not hiding what God has given you and the capability and using it for his glory. And Facebook, obviously, you know, people use that for connecting.
Right.
For me, Facebook is an opportunity to share Christ. Mm-hmm. That is one of my evangelistic tools. Mm-hmm. I will use it to send out tags and questions, to invite dialogue, to invite discussion, hoping to have a chance to share Christ. And since I have been on Facebook, I can give several times where, because of one little blurb, because they don't allow more than 120-something words, I think, I have had somebody connect with me, and I have been able to share the gospel. And I have had it come through from atheists. I've had it come through with people who don't believe in God. I've had it come through with people who are antagonistic towards Christianity. I've had it where, I mean, in my face, call me, I mean, a child abuser because I'm a person who preaches Christ. It was just strange. That was a strange title that was given. I didn't get that one. But, I mean, the dialogue that has come
right.
in has been astounding. And all I have done is used the Facebook tool to see. I've been unfriended and friended both because of it, you know. And so whatever it is, the means that we have that we can communicate, we need to use it to the fullest measure.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be held accountable for it. And that is the whole point behind why God wanted it to be Peter. And we can see that because when Peter got up to speak, he says to them, one, he asked them the question in verse chapter Acts 10:29, he says, so when you sent for me, I came without raising any objection. Before he says that question, he says, you know, it's against my law for me to come and talk with you. You know, it is against my law for me to eat with you. You know this. So why did you send for me? You know, and what's even more astounding is Peter said, so I came. Now tell me why. I could just hear him. You know, it's like, oh, I wish I had the Jewishness of that. I know that had to have been the best question that was posed, and the way he shrugged his shoulders and the eyebrows went up. So Cornelius explains to him why he sent, and then Peter says, I realize now. Because see, Cornelius needed to know the Lord, but Peter had to learn a lesson, and this was Peter's lesson. In verse 34, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favorites.
Oh, that's so tough, Tara.
He does not show favorites, but God does do something. He does accept men from every nation who fear him
and do what's right.
And do what is right. You know the message that God sent the people. He accepts, he looks for the character. And I can't remember which, J.W. McGarvey, that's who it was. He said, God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of character. Okay, a person, God accepts all people. God loves all people. But when it comes to a person's character, God notices that. Okay. And that's because that's where, I mean, honestly, the judgment seat, who we are and the choices we've made, whether we've chosen him or rejected him, that's the beginning of that. There will be judgment for that. And so God doesn't show favorites. He wants all. But ultimately, it'll come down to what are the choices we're making. And so decisions will be made and judgment will fall based on the choices we made towards him and how we've reacted to what he's given us in the gift of his son. It's crazy. And I love this passage because it opens it up. And for Peter to grow, for Cornelius to grow, for the town to know, all of them, for them to be a part of it. And when I was going through, I noticed that there were a whole bunch of different threes within this passage. Three men, three times the sheet. He says something, I mean, it's like three times. What was with the number three? Because when scripture repeats something, you need to find out. Mm-hmm. And I found out that there is importance with the number three when it comes to scripture. And then they said that in the traditions that repetition in threes represents that it's certain and it's true. So he sent three men because it represented that it's certain and true. That's why he needed to come. He didn't just send one. He sent three. Because he wanted him to see the seriousness and the validity of why he needed to come. And then it happened in three times because God wanted him to see that it is certain and it is true. What God calls clean, no man can call unclean.
Wow.
And that's huge when you apply that to people.
Such a God of order.
I know. And you apply that to people. Mm-hmm. Who am I to look at a person and judge? Who am I to say this person can or can't because of what they've done or where they've been or what they've been connected to or a part of? I have no right. Mm-mm. Because God says, I have no favorites in that. I have no favorites in that. Mm. It's amazing. And then I wanted us to think about, and next week we will come back because we've only got like 2 minutes left. No, like less than a minute left. I want you to come back because next week what we're going to look at is that when we have an open door, what is our responsibility towards the open door? Because God stands at the door and knocks, but what we do with that door is our choice. And Cornelius, what did he do? He listened, he recognized the Lord, and then he listened, and then he obeyed. What did Peter do? Well, at first he denied him, he argued, but then he obeyed. Both of them did follow through with what God asked. And so we have to ask ourselves, where do I fall in that? Do I argue first and then obey, or do I ignore and not go, or do I go and do exactly what he says? You need to come back next week as we talk about this. God bless.